Welcome to Season 4 of Pick the Plot. I'm your host, Rebecca McKinnon. This season, we step into a fairy tale. What secrets hide in the woods? Which paths will we take? Who will we trust? It's up to you, because on this podcast, the listeners get to pick the plot. At the end of our last episode, Crimson had to decide if she should tell Sawyer about the wolf following them, or if she should try to keep him from noticing. Your votes have her keeping it secret. Episode 3. Trust. The wolf stayed to the shadows where he was harder to see, but Crimson felt his eyes on her even when patches of undergrowth separated them. Crimson? Sawyer's voice drew her back to the one-sided conversation. She blinked several times as she shifted her focus back to her friend. I didn't mean to drift. He shook his head, but a hint of a smile lifted his cheek. What is it about the woods that interests you so? She glanced back toward the trees and caught a glint of the wolf's pale blue gaze. Now or always?
Is there a difference?
Yes, there most certainly was a difference. Crimson made a sound that could be honest, or could be taken as uncertainty or dismissal, depending on Sawyer's expectation. This would be the time to tell him of the wolf, but she couldn't bring herself to speak of it. It felt as if pointing him out would be breaking a promise. I've always loved the woods.
Because of the time you spent there with your grandfather?
Perhaps. Crimson paused at the feeling pouring off the unseen wolf. If he were human, it would be expressed by rolling his eyes heavenward. He taught me to find my way, and to gather ingredients to make the red dye. But it's more than that. Don't you feel the welcome of the trees, and the comfort? Sawyer paused, as if trying to decide how to tell Crimson he now feared for her sanity. Finally, he shook his head.
I don't feel anything different in the woods than I do in the fields, other than the coolness of the air beneath the leaves.
In the heat of summer, that coolness was argument enough to let the woods spread as far as they'd like. He turned his attention to the trees beside them, and Crimson stiffened. If he saw the wolf, there was no knowing what he'd do. Try to get her away at the least. Likely he'd then go out to hunt it. Something inside Crimson cried out in protest at the idea. She tightened her lips to keep the sound from escaping and looked into the trees, hoping the wolf blended in. If she hadn't been looking for them, the pale blue eyes peering at her from behind a shrub would have been impossible to see. Sawyer returned his gaze to the road and the horse pulling the cart. Crimson allowed her eyes to close briefly as she sighed in relief. A short time later, they rounded another bend and Sawyer's home came into view. Cords of wood were piled beside the woodshed, ready to be delivered when needed. They drew closer and the house became large enough to see details. It had begun as a cottage much like where Crimson lived, but over the past several years, Sawyer had expanded it, adding a room to each side and across the back. Then he'd added an upstairs, expanding the house until it looked, from the outside, more like an inn than a simple dwelling. At the front of the house, off to one side of the main door, was the beginning of another room. Grateful for the chance to draw his attention away from the woods, Crimson mentioned it. I can't imagine how you fill the space you have already, yet you're adding more. He turned away for a better look at the house, and the tension that still gripped Crimson's shoulders fell away. While his back was turned, she reached her hand outside the cart and motioned for the wolf to leave. The wave of amusement and stubbornness pushed back at her. Some of the rooms sit empty, Sawyer admitted. He kept his eyes on the house. One day they'll be full. Oh? Crimson glared over her shoulder at the wolf, hoping he'd understand she was giving him a chance to melt into the woods before he was seen. She felt Sawyer shift and returned her attention to him before his eyes swung to her. One day those rooms will be filled with happiness. Something in his face gave Crimson pause. There was something he was trying to tell her, but it was just out of her grasp. After a moment, he returned to normal.
It's good for me to have a project to work on.
The house grew small behind them as the horse plodded along, pulling the cart down the road. Eventually, the road joined with two others, forming a crossroads of sorts, with each road going its own direction. The fork to the left led to the village. Sawyer guided the horse to the right,
which would take them to Crimson's cottage. Far beyond that, it led to the next village over. Sawyer stopped the cart outside Crimson's gate and lifted her to the ground. He gestured to the back of the cart.
"I'll fill your shed before I go."
Crimson took her basket inside the cottage, where she lined the bottles of potions and herbs on a shelf and reached the basket overhead to where it usually hung. Everything cleared away, she went back to the cart and filled her arms with wood. Sawyer started to say something, then shook his head and wisely held his tongue. Crimson's woodshed was small and built right up against the cottage. When it was full, Sawyer took a load inside and filled the wood bin beside the fireplace and set a fire ready to burn through the night. Crimson carefully folded the bright red fabric she'd left hanging and placed it carefully out of the way.
"You finished it, then?"
"Not quite. I'll do the final part tomorrow." He grinned and inspected her hands.
"You kept the dye on the fabric this time."
Of course she had. It was nearly half her lifetime ago that she'd made the mistake of dyeing her hands. But Sawyer enjoyed teasing her about it so much it might as well have been yesterday. "Will you stay for supper?" Crimson asked. They ate together frequently, as neither had family to care for, and they often found themselves near each other at mealtimes. Sometimes Sawyer provided the food, if Crimson was on that side of the woods, but usually Sawyer ate at Crimson's cottage. Before her grandfather died, Sawyer promised the old man he'd protect Crimson and see that everything at the cottage stayed in good repair. He'd taken the promise to heart. It only seemed fair to Crimson that he be fed for his trouble. The morning was quiet, the only sound the crackling of the fire. Crimson pulled the blanket tighter, her eyes closed even as her mind stirred. It was too quiet and the air heavy with expectation. She didn't know what she was waiting for, only that she'd thought it would come soon after Sawyer had left. The night was gone and still nothing had happened. Giving up on the sleep that had eluded her, she climbed down the ladder and swung open the window shutter. Pale morning light cast a glow over the garden and lit the tops of the trees. Daylight seeped into the cottage and fell across the herbs Widow Hazel had given her. The silver potion seemed to glow, faintly at first, then stronger. Crimson reached out and wrapped her fingers around the bottle. It was cold against her skin, almost as cold as ice. She turned the bottle, watching the silver swirl inside as she wondered if Widow Hazel was right. Had she refused to see changes in people because she herself was trapped in the state of mind her grandfather's death had left her in? Could people change? She'd never noticed it, but it might have been that she wasn't looking for it. She thought of Meg and the things in her life that were different since she'd married the baker. Had those things changed who her friend was? Perhaps. Meg hadn't been patient, ever, but she'd shown patience with those nasty women in the bakery. Widow Hazel was more insistent on sharing her knowledge than she used to be. Crimson had thought it was only because she'd come to know the woman better. But maybe, as she'd grown older, she'd felt the need to pass things on to Crimson so they wouldn't be forgotten when she was gone. But Sawyer hadn't changed, had he? When they'd met, he seemed so much older than her, and she'd accepted his protection as easily as her grandfather's. As she'd grown, she'd discovered that 7 years wasn't so much older as it had seemed. He watched over her now as he had since she was a child. But sometimes he looked at her as if waiting for her to read his thoughts, like he had just hours ago on the road beside his home when he'd spoken of filling the house with happiness. Was that change? Crimson couldn't see how she had changed, but Widow Hazel insisted she had. She suspected changes in herself would be harder to discern even than changes in her friends. The widow might have been hesitant to give her the potion. But if Crimson was meant to become something more than who she was, would it be best to do so now, or wait until she felt ready? Something told her the longer she waited, the harder it would be. Without allowing herself more thought, Crimson uncorked the bottle and poured the silver liquid into her mouth and swallowed. Setting the bottle aside, she went out to feed the chickens and dig in the garden. The
feeling of expectation hung over Crimson throughout the day. She flinched at every sound and was relieved when darkness announced the day was gone. Sitting before the fire, the finished fabric in her lap and a cup of tea in hand, Crimson tried to relax. She'd felt no change since drinking the potion, but perhaps it took time to work. Or perhaps she wouldn't notice anything until she was around other people. Living alone on this side of the woods meant she'd have to go to the village, or visit Widow Hazel or Sawyer if she wanted company beyond herself. She must have fallen asleep, for the next she knew, her eyes were bleary as she sat tall with a start. The fire beside her had burned down to coals. A quiet howl came from somewhere in the woods. Another joined in, and another, until the air was filled with the mournful sound of what must have been several dozen wolves. A single howl cut through the rest, louder and longer than the others. When it ended, the night was silent. Crimson rose and moved to the door. The villagers would say it was unwise to tempt fate when wild animals were near, but Crimson didn't pause until the door was open. Resting on his haunches in her garden was the large wolf from a day before, his pale blue eyes staring at Crimson. In the road behind him, and fanned out along the edge of the woods, was a large pack of wolves. They stared at her as if waiting for her to do something. The wolf in the garden rose to his feet and took a step toward her, and emotions tumbled through her, her own or the wolf's, or both. Curiosity and fear and hope. Crimson didn't know what it meant. The wolf took another, deliberate step toward her, and Crimson froze. As much as she trusted the wolf not to attack her on his own, she didn't think she'd survive should the entire pack come after her. There was time, if she moved quickly, to close the door before the wolf was close. Part of her wanted to do just that. The other side of her wanted to step toward the wolf. Should Crimson move toward the wolf, or should she put the door between them? It's up to you. You can cast your vote at RebeccaMackinnon.com/pick the plot. Voting will be open for 1 week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I look forward to seeing where our story goes from here. Thanks for listening.